Oh, hallelujah, glory be to God.
The year of advancement, the year of fulfillment. Last Sunday we was praying and things, and the Spirit of God just gave me some stuff along that lines. And one of the things that he brought out, and we already kind of knew it was the year of advancement. We already knew that. We got that back in October, but as I was praying, he added in the year of fulfillment, and that's why we went over to Joshua, because he waited 40 years. But he never gave up on the promise that God told him that belonged to him.
That's right. Amen.
He never backed off of it. He never let the people around him. Yeah. Because they went through a desert for 40 years.
Yeah.
40 years. And yet he had the promise of God on the inside of him. And people constantly, the negativity around him, the turmoil and the crazy stuff going on around him, he never allowed it to affect him or to get what God told him out of him. And that's why he said, look, I was 40 then, I'm 80 now, give me this mountain. Give me what you told me belonged to me. At 80 years old, went up there and started fighting with a sword. How many of y'all feel like going fighting, taking on people with a sword and a shield right now? I'm not saying we're all 80. You know, I'm just saying naturally, though, if you're older, who feels like doing that? Unless you know that God told you something, you're like, what does my age have to do with what God told me? God said it belongs to me. Give me this mountain. Give me what you told belonged to me. But the people around him constantly trying to get it out of him. You sure that belongs to you? Look, we're out here in the desert. We're probably all going to die. This is, look. You think you're better than us now? Yeah, we could go a long ways with that. Hallelujah. Amen. But what God was saying about that, he said the things that Satan's been trying to hold back from you, commanding to take his hands off what God promised you and send your ministering spirits out and tell them to cause it to come.
Yes.
Amen. And so I would continually stay with it and hold on to it.
Yes.
Amen. Nina, you want to come up here, ma'am? Give your testimony, please.
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, Jesus.
Good morning. So the truth is, no, I don't want to be up here. But by the blood of the Lamb, like Tiana said, and the word of our testimony. So here I am. That's how we overcome. So I'm going to tell you real quick. God healed me yesterday. Completely healed and whole, okay? But let me go into a little bit about that. I think he wants me to start with last week. I'll try to make it quick. So last week, I heard this song by Tasha Cobbs, and you probably heard it. And she talks about how God told her about the spirit of rejection and to curse the spirit of rejection and receive the spirit of adoption. And I was like, whoa. And so I started doing that. And it didn't happen right away. And a few days later, I was in church on Wednesday, and probably some of you would notice, maybe Miss Nancy would notice, that I was different. And I actually had a smile on, and it's like I pulled up to the church, and I was like, whoa, I go to this church? It's almost like a veil had been torn, and I could see things for what they were. And I didn't realize yesterday, but God's like, no, that's part of it. So that was part of my healing, okay? So then, what... I might need the tissue, Sally. So then yesterday, I didn't know I was going to get healed yesterday. I'd been standing for my healing for 6 months. Before that, it was 15 years. And then it was a year and a half. And then it was a year. And this one was 6 months. And I was standing on the word of God. I have my scriptures right here. Healing scriptures, okay? Every day. And I was like, God, I know you said what you said, so I'm going to praise you through it. And I'm going to keep pushing, and I'm going to keep trying. Even some days it felt like crawling, but I did it. And some days I came to church with a stank face. I'm sorry, don't take it personally. I had to get here, okay? So anyways, so I've been holding for my healing, right? So in the morning, I don't even know if I'm looking at my notes. So I was worshiping God and just doing, and I was just doing what he told me to do. I was cleaning my house. I did the dishes. I read my Bible, and then I went and worked out because he's been working on it with me. And so I did that. Then I came in, I put a show on, and then he's like, I got my Bible sitting there, and he's like, pick up your Bible. And I'm like, okay. So I picked up my Bible. I'm like, where should I go to? And he said, Mark 5. And if you could pull up Mark 5, verse 24, please. Thank you. So I'm just going to go over it real quick. And Jesus went, no, that's not the right one. 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. And I know this one. Not like, I know this. Thank you, Sally. Not like, oh, I know this. Like, I know this. I've lived this. And I've held on to this promise that she gets my whole life. And when he's been preaching about getting continually healed, that's been my life. And so I'm like, okay, I know this, God. So what is it that I need to see? So he showed me that she had suffered many things. And I was like, oh, she suffered more than I thought she did. Okay. So that's number one. And then it just goes on. And then it says that, you know, she touched Jesus. And she, he showed me, like, that's what I was doing in prayer, which I believe that many of you have been doing in prayer also. And then it says something he showed me today. And then Jesus looked at her. He looked around for her because he felt virtue go out. And then he looked at her. And I believe that he wants to look on us because it's not just my healing. It's all of our healing. Jesus is coming back to a church that is spotless. So she reached out, right? And immediately the blood dried up. And then it said, she was healed of the plague. I never saw that it had the word plague. And so the Holy Spirit said, cast the plague out. And so I was like, okay. So I did. And then I read on, and he showed me specifically where it says that Jesus, immediately knowing that virtue had gone out of him, and he said, receive my virtue. And I said, I receive your virtue. And immediately, I was not in pain anymore. Not at all. And I didn't get up for a minute because I was like, whoa. So then he's like, get up. So I got up, and that normally would have hurt, and it didn't hurt. So then I went down and bent down, and that didn't hurt. And then I jumped, and that didn't hurt. And then because my kids have a trampoline, they love when I jump with them, right? I haven't been able to jump in 6 months. So I was like, I'm going to go on the trampoline. So I went out on the trampoline, and I jumped, and it didn't hurt. And then I praise God, and he's so good, and he's so awesome. And this is all glory to God because, like, I've been standing and asking for years, God, how do I get an immediate healing? Immediate. And then immediately it happened. So don't quit seeking God, and if you've been waiting, keep standing what you're standing on. God's word is true, and it does not return void.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Give God some praise for a minute. We thank you. We thank you and honor and praise you, Father God. Glory be to God. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you sent your word and you healed us. You healed all of us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. Hallelujah. You want to give yours? I know you wasn't.
Okay. Yep. I don't have notes like Miss Nina. I'm not prepared. Okay. I stand in agreement with waiting because I've had a blood transfusion every year since 2019. It has cost me money. It has cost me time. And I feel very robbed from that. And I've been dreading going to the doctor. I didn't want to do my tests. I didn't want to give my blood. But finally, I was like, the Lord's like, you need to go ahead and do that. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And I'm trusting you. And I said in prayer this morning, I've been standing on a scripture. It was Deuteronomy I believe it's 7:9. It says, understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is your God. He is the same God who keeps covenant for 1,000 generations. So I'm like, God, you said that we could be healed. That was a promise. That is in your covenant. I am standing strong. Yes, thank you. So I went to the doctor on Thursday after giving my thing. I called my friend, Miss Starla. She said, don't, no fear. Rebuke the fear in Jesus' name. You need to have a prayer partner. You need to have a buddy, okay? Amen. So I do that, and she goes, listen, I'm looking at these numbers right quick, and honestly, you don't even register as anemic at all. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, your number is like 12, which I've been to a hematologist, and she said, well, your numbers are like 8 and 9 for hemoglobin. That's normal for you, but to be at 12 is like unheard of in 5 years. Hallelujah. So glory to God. He is the God that keeps covenant. He is a healing God. So be encouraged. Seriously. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Yeah, amen. Turn over to Acts 20, please. You know what both of them have in common? I'll answer it so you don't have to. Standing on the Word of God. Meditating the word and not meditating the problem. Amen. Anybody can meditate a problem. It takes somebody firm to meditate the word. Beacon. I thought y'all was throwing up gang signs in the back. My bad. We are going to talk a little bit about the year of advancement, the year of fulfillment. Amen. 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 I'm going to first talk about some things that Satan does. I wrote down distractions is one of Satan's weapons. Yes. I wrote that down. I don't know. I haven't paid attention to the news. But if, like, they come on and say there's a new variant or something like that of COVID or whatever, and then they start talking about shots, people immediately get off the word and start going, I wonder when I can get a shot. And nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, if we're just getting off of the word and onto the world real quick because we think the world's going to answer the problem that's going on. All right. Amen. People might start talking about, and if you think about it, that's really a distraction. Because if Satan can get you to start meditating a new variant, a new sickness, well, what are we going to have to do now? Are we going to have to remask? Are we going to be able to travel? And now he's got you thinking about all this stuff. He's got you distracted. Now you're not focused on the word. You're not focused on healing, but you're focused on, I might get sick. Maybe I can't do this now. Maybe I can't do that now. Now my distraction's all the way off the word and what God said I can do. That's right. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all just give me a smile just for good purpose real fast. Thank you. All right. Now I feel better. Whenever somebody starts getting a cold, people automatically start talking about a flu season, right? That, which is funny. Why don't they ever talk about a healing season? People prepare for a flu season too. Like they prepare for it. Which is funny, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Distractions. If Satan can get us distracted and talking about our sickness and our trouble or how the price has gone up on everything and meditating the wrong thing, then no one will advance with a mindset like that. Amen. Nobody will advance with constantly meditating a problem, the situation, what's going on, you're not going to advance because you're going to draw back, because you're constantly going to look at the problem and think that that problem, and the more I meditate the problem, the bigger it gets. It's kind of like a conversation that you'll have in your head before you even have the conversation with somebody. You got it all played out because, you know, I'm going to say this, then they're going to say this, then I'm going to say this, then they're probably going to say that. I might hit them, but if I don't hit them, I'm going to say this. And then they're probably going to come back with this stupid remark. Yeah, well, I saw you over there. And then I'm going to say, and then you get there and they're like, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. But yet, you're ready. You get there, you find them. They're like, hey, how you doing? You're like, oh, hey. Now you're awkward because you're ready to fight. And you look real weird, like, just me? All right. I've had a lot of those conversations in my head. Amen. We're getting better, though. Amen. Amen. I think Chelsea has a lot of those conversations, too, because a lot of times I look at her and she's like this. No, I'm joking. Probably because I just said something real stupid. That's probably what really happened. Amen. Satan will even try to use family to distract us. Look, y'all can't do that when I'm drinking water. I almost spit that everywhere. That almost came out of my nose, man. That'd have been awesome on YouTube. Oh. Oh, man, yeah. Yeah. Satan will even try to use family to distract us. This has mostly to do with parents and their kids.
Amen.
It really does. Amen. Because a lot of times parents will take on what their kids are going through. And that's not our job. Well, I'm trying to be a good parent. Well, a good parent would feed them the word. Yes. Not get mad at another person because of what your kid says. Because I don't know about you, I know about me and growing up. And did I always tell my parents the 100% truth about somebody? Or did I make it lean my way? And so we just assume our kids are telling us the 100% truth that this other person truly did that to them. And is truly teaching them that. Is truly treating them like that. Zoe came home before from school and talked about a teacher, and I told her, you need to shut up and listen. What the teacher, they're trying to teach us this and it's all wrong. Shut up. Are you the teacher? Did you go to college? You are 13. You think you got it all figured out? You need to shut up. You're in school to learn, not to try to tell the teacher how to run their classroom. You ain't in charge. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I ain't going to talk to my kid like that. All right, well, do what you want.
That's right.
All right, yeah. Well, thank God. That's why I told y'all to smile at the beginning, so we just get that out the way. Amen. But that's a huge distraction. That's a huge distraction because Satan will use parents, their kids, to get them distracted and get them mad at people and get them talking about people now. Because love, does love say anything about anybody? Love thinks the best of what? Everybody. You ought to read 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified. Well, in a lot of different ones, because it even says that love is not rude. That just kind of throws a monkey wrench in a lot of stuff, don't it? But it thinks the best about everybody. So if I'm not walking in love and if I'm thinking, you are an idiot. You are so dumb. I can't. Why do you think you're just so much better? You think I'm walking in love? So is now faith and my prayer life going to be effective? Affected? Absolutely. Because am I walking in love? So can, is God, can he fulfill what he said in his word to me if I'm not doing what he asked? Interesting how our kids, distractions, our kids will get us, come home and get and telling us, man, I don't know what happened. They just came up and started acting like this. So you didn't do nothing? But now we'll listen to our kids. Right, that too. We'll listen to our kids, and now I'm going to, while they're talking, because y'all, real fast, I went hunting Saturday, right? Well, actually, a couple weeks ago, I went hunting. I did go Saturday, too, but a couple weeks ago, I went hunting, and this fog blew in like crazy. I'm up on in the mountains. It's beautiful up there, right? And so I see the fog coming from the east. It was just blowing in, and I could see everything. I was like, son, that looks thick, right? Like, you ever been in fog where you feel like you have to cut it out with a knife? It's so thick. That's what it was like. And I could just see it coming in. And then all of a sudden, it just got there. I was like, son, I can barely see my hand in front of my face. I hope nothing walks out. I can't see it. Y'all just saw what I saw, didn't you? Because you created that whole image in your head while I was talking, didn't you? What do you think you're creating whenever your kid's talking about somebody? You're creating an image of this person, how bad they are. Yes. Is that a distraction? Is that getting you out of love? And then we try to go and pray and believe God for things, and our faith and stuff is affected, and we're going, God, why? Why ain't you doing this? God's going, well, why don't you get back in love? Because whenever our kids start telling us something about somebody, I don't know why they just came up, started acting like this, and they just telling me I'm number one, and the teacher just got all mad for no reason. I was just sitting in class doing my work like I'm supposed to. I wasn't doing nothing, but she came up and just got all mad and threw her hand down. And then a lot of times, parents will even go to school. Why are you treating my kid like this? Okay, all right, didn't know it was going that way, amen. But, and the reason a lot of times parents will go to school like that because they got an image in their head now that this person is bad. This person's treating my kid bad, and they're not treating them like everybody else. They're probably singling them out even. And Zoe's even tried to tell, they're singling me out. No, they ain't, stop acting stupid. You're probably doing something for them to single you out. You're probably talking, no, yes. Amen, amen. I don't know why we're on that. Amen. Distractions, right? Because then, if we do that for our kids growing up, and then they get out of our house, now they got a family of their own, and then they come to our house and then try to tell us about how bad their work is, their boss is, or their landlord. Yeah. And now, the more they talk about their landlord, how bad their landlord is, I'm creating this image in my mind, and it's not a love image at all. Because if it was a love image, I'd have told them, you need to stop. Yes. Stop. Yeah. If there's really that kind of problem, you need to take it to that person. You need to don't bring that trash over here. Because I'm already got enough dealing with me walking in love by myself, lest you try to bring your stuff over here trying to get me out of love. And all it is Satan trying to get you to get out of love so he can affect your faith, and he can affect your finances, and he can affect your health. Satan, he's not coming at you. The thing is, if Satan showed up to our house, knocked on the front door, and we opened it, and we went, ha, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I know who you are. But if he shows up with a little Girl Scout and Girl Scout cookies, we wouldn't realize it was him then. If you're going to feed an animal poison, Do you just give them the poison, or do you hide it in something that looks delicious? The poison will still do the same effect as if you just gave it to them. But they'll recognize the poison as poison if you just put it out there. But you wrap it up in something nice, they won't see the poison. They'll go, ooh, that's good. Where'd y'all go? What? Say, go to 23, please. King James is fun. The thing is, we will advance, and we will have the fulfillment of what God's promised us. That's the thing. It will happen. I'm telling you, like I know my name. You can have it or you don't have to have it. Our choice, right? Amen. 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 Our choice. We can't allow not only just our kids, but also family. Family a lot of times will bring their issues to our house too. And they're wanting us to side with them. That's the thing. That's the only reason that you go to tell somebody something is you want them on your side. You want somebody to think like you think towards this individual. And a born-again believer is supposed to be walking in love, doesn't need to have those kind of thoughts about another person. I don't care if they're Christian or not. Because if the Bible says to think the best about everybody, then I need to think the best about everybody. Well, what if they're not the best? That's between them and God. I'm just going to do what God asked me to do. That way I can see the fulfillment and the advancement in my life. Save the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and what? Who's talking?
Paul.
Say Paul. All right. Next, please. But what? Y'all need, if I was you, I'd highlight that and I'd make that like a poster up in my house. But none of these things move me. See, go back to 23. Save the Holy Ghost witness in every city saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. A lot of times people, well, if they knew in advance what was they're coming about to be facing, they'd take a right immediately or a left or turn around and go another direction. Save the Holy Ghost witness in every city saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with what?
Joy.
With what?
Joy.
And yet all of these afflictions and everything's coming against you, and he's talking about finishing in joy? So you're telling me you can go through all kind of stuff and still laugh your way through it. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Pull it up in the Amplified Classic, please. But none of these things move me, neither do I esteem my life dear to myself. If only I might finish my course with what?
Joy.
And the ministry which I have obtained from which was entrusted to me by the Lord Jesus faithfully to attest the good news, gospel of God's grace, his unmerited favor, spiritual blessing, and mercy. Right? Amen. Go to Acts 21, verse 12. I guess so. Am I carrying around the weight of my friends' problems, my family's problems, my kids' problems? Am I carrying that around? We gotta just start letting ourselves know some things. And tell them, you ain't got to say it mean. You don't. Just tell them, look, I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm having a hard enough time walking in love on my own than to take on your stuff right now, to be honest with you. So let me work on me for a while, and then I can try to help you. Or another good way to shut them down is just start feeding them the word. Because you start feeding somebody the word, yeah, I know that, but.
Yeah.
And when we heard these things, both we and what?
Yeah.
Besought him not to what? Then Paul answered, what mean ye to what? Interesting, ain't it? To weep and to break my heart. This was people he knew. I'll just finish reading. Break my heart, for I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Next. And when he would what?
Not
we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. Right?
Yeah.
Go back to 12. Persuaded. Pull it up in the CEV, please. Persuaded means to successfully convince someone to agree to, accept, or do something, usually through reasoning and verbal influence. So persuaded means to successfully convince someone. That's what it means. And they couldn't persuade him, right? That's what it said. It says, after Agabus said this, we and the followers living there begged Paul not to what? But Paul answered, why are you crying and? Interesting, he knew these people. Right? And how do I write that? They were trying to reason with him through his emotions. That's why he told him, why are you breaking my heart? They're trying to get to him through his emotions. But his faith was too strong and spoke out and said, y'all can't persuade me. I know what's ahead of me, but none of these things move me, and I'm going forward. But they were trying to go at it naturally, though. That's why whenever people start talking to us, they start trying to pull at your heartstrings. You know, they treated me so bad. And then we start feeling sorry for them. We're going, man, they really treated you like that? They did that to you?
Amen.
And it's people we know.
Yeah.
They did that to Paul, and he said, why are you crying? Why are you trying to get me to move out from what God told me to do? Why are you trying to get me out of the will of God? Why are you trying to pull on my heartstrings to get me to make another decision that I know is not what God asked me to do? Why are you trying to get me to go another way? God told me to go this way. Why are you trying to play with my emotions to get me to move? Because that's the only way people know how to work. Because people know emotion. If I can get you emotionally, I can dangle you around as far as I need you to go. Manipulation. Absolutely. If I can get you emotionally, I can manipulate you to do anything I need. And I just want to see how far I can drag this along. I want to see how much it'll work in my favor. And Paul even told him, why are y'all trying to play with my heart? Why are y'all coming at me crying? He even told him, why are you trying to come at me crying? Because naturally, if I can get you to make a decision out of your emotions, distractions. Yes. Satan knew exactly what he was doing.
Yes.
Satan knew exactly what he was doing. He knew Paul. He was like, you know what? I ain't going to come at him full on. I'm going to use some people around him. I'm going to use some people that he knows. I'm going to try to get them with, you know, with some emotions. I'm going to get people crying. Thank God Zoe ain't in here. I'm going to tell on myself real fast, right? And so I'll get on to Zoe, and I'm good. But if she starts crying, I'm going to put up one tear. I'm like, Chelsea, deal with it. All right, break down. All right, look, next time, you know, I'm like, what really happened to me? You know, really, you get girls and all of a sudden you just become a big baby. It's like, what really happened to me? I used to be hard. You know, give me a military guy when I was in the military, son. Man, I just, not today, son, but a girl, really? A little girl? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Just falling apart. Golly, embarrassing. But she knows if she can play with my, get me in my heart with, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, it's okay. What do you want? She knows how to play that emotional game, right? I'm doing better, though, thank God. Because I got to hold my ground. Can't always just break down and give her what she wants. I can't. I'd be doing her an injustice in her growing up life. I would. Amen. But why are you crying and breaking my heart? I'm not only willing to be put in jail for the Lord Jesus. Thing is, they tried to come at him emotionally. But he had to stay firm and answer it immediately. He couldn't stop and think about it for a while. He needed to answer it. He needed to answer the issue that was trying to come and get him to move off what God told him to do. Yes. He needed to answer it right now. And so he told him, he said, why? I'm not willing, or I am not willing to be put in jail for the Lord Jesus, but I am even willing to die for him in Jerusalem. I don't care that. Look, I understand y'all are perceiving what's going to happen to me, but I'm still going to do what God asked me to do.
Yes.
But don't go. It's going to be so bad. I have to do what God asked me to do. I can't make another choice. I can't do nothing else. I got to do what God asked me to do. I have to. I wrote down, this was people he knew, not just some Joe Schmo off the street, right? Because if some guy just came up to us off the street, you know, it wouldn't affect us really. Really? But give us somebody we know that we're friends with, that we've known for a long time, even a kid or a family member. It gets a little harder. But we have to recognize it. Is this a distraction? Is this a distraction from Satan? Are they trying to get me to move and not even realize it? I mean, we could have been distractions to some people. Don't always think somebody else is being a distraction or you being a distraction.
Amen.
That's the thing, you know. A lot of times we always think, well, everybody else trying to get me to move. Well, are you trying to get somebody else to move and not realize it?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Pull up the Message, verse 12 and 13, please. Hang on, photo moment. Normally they get me like this. When we heard that we and everyone there that day begged Paul not to be stubborn and persist in going to Jerusalem. But Paul wouldn't what?
Why
all this hysteria? Why all this what?
Hysteria.
So if I can't get you to move by crying, I'm going to try to throw a big old fit. I'm going to try to throw a rage. And then I'm going to tell you how bad they're doing us. And how bad the landlords are. How bad the government is. They're holding back on me. I'm going to get you somehow. I'm going to throw everything I can at you to try to get you to start creating an image of somebody else. Now you're creating an opinion on somebody you've never even met. And so before you even talk to this person, you have an opinion about them. That's not of love, by no means. It's of you're treating them wrong. You're a bad person. And I'm going into this conversation ready to fight. And I don't care what you say, I'm gonna come back with something negative every time. Because of this image that I've created, because of this opinion from somebody else that's probably lying to make themselves look better. Because let's be honest, whenever we talk about ourselves, we always tell the best side, that way it makes us look good. Because are we going to tell the side that what we actually said to that person? Or what we actually did to that person? No, because then you'd be like, oh, well, there's your problem. Then you would understand what the problem was. But if I just tell you this other side that's coated in love and rainbows and butterflies, you'll just already create an opinion. They're wrong. You're right. Why all this hysteria? Why do you insist on making a scene? Why do you insist on making a scene? But you don't know how bad it is. Amen. Sing with family. Amen. Sing with family. Help them with the word. And invite them to church. Amen. And if they don't show up, tell them you won't answer any more of the problems. Amen. Because they constantly run to you for answers. You're trying to give them the answer, which is the word of God, but they constantly refuse it. And so now, why are you trying to run around and put out their fires? They have the same God that me and you have. And now I'm wasting all of my energy on y'all. Because if they have the same opportunity as church, that's between them and God. I'm not going to constantly spin my wheels and waste my energy. I'll help you as much as I can. But the thing is, if I'm telling you, hey, let's go to church, but you just constantly telling me no and don't show up, then you really don't want an answer. You really don't want the problem fixed. I should have heard a really good amen out of that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when I was sitting in drug rehab, I said, I have to do something different. I can't, what kind of life is this? What am I doing with my life? I know better than this. I've been raised in church. What am I doing? And so I had to make the decision to do something different, get back in fellowship with God. If I wanted a different outcome, I knew I needed a different change. I can't go down the same road and think I'm going to get a different outcome continuing down the same road with the same issues and the same problems. I got to get off that road and on another road. Why do you insist on making a scene and making it even harder for me? They were probably welling, going, don't go. And it probably wasn't. It was a few people. Don't go. Don't. Stay here. We love you. You're really helping us. You're doing a great job. Stay here. Don't go. Come on, please. Please don't go. Look, I think you're missing it. What does he say next? You're looking at this what?
Backwards.
You're looking at this backwards. The issue in Jerusalem is not what they do to me, whether arrest or murder, but what the Master Jesus does through me. Hallelujah. Doing what God asked him to do. Doing what God asked him to do and not allowing distractions. We get to take up communion. I only got to, two verses, so sorry. We'll get some more, obviously. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost helping us. But watch out for distractions. Distractions. He's really been talking to me about that, about the distractions and family members. And when I was growing up, I obviously got out of church because I thought I could live my life better and have more fun. Yeah. I ended up in drug rehab, didn't do too good with my life. But I knew what the answer was, and so I got back to the answer. But my mom and dad, they told me. And if I'd called my mom and dad with an issue, they would never, I can't believe that, Ricky. Thank God for parents that ain't some whiny babies. Yes. They'd let me know. I'd probably be mad by the time I got off the phone. I can't believe, I just want somebody to side in with me, feel sorry for me. They won't even do that. They told me, look, you can keep living your life like that. We ain't going to support you, and we don't support you. We'll help you if we can, but unless you want to make a change, this is where you're headed. Don't be surprised with the outcome. That's the kind of life, that's what comes along with that lifestyle. Amen. Well, Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name, and we thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God, we'll start realizing distractions for what they are. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for helping us with that, showing us that. And I thank you, Father God, whenever the distractions show up, we'll be able to realize it, see it, and take it as a distraction. And we'll resist it, and we won't take a hold of it with that other person or with whatever it is. But we'll just continually meditate on the word, continually meditate on the promises that belong to us, and continually do what you asked us to do. And we give you all the praise, all the honor and the glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said.
All right, hallelujah. You're still wanting to do communion today, honey?
Yeah, we.
All right, glory to God. So we're going to end this year with doing